ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we're having an initiation ceremony in this very beautiful temple of Lord Shiva, who is the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. You're okay? You can go on simultaneously? Okay, very good. The ladies need translation also? If you're all okay with English, if anyone needs translation, you can organize that among yourselves. So we may think, well, what do we need initiation for? We can chant Hare Krishna. We can read Srila Prabhupada's books. And we can go on in Krishna consciousness. Well, if we read Srila Prabhupada's books, which are the essence of all the Vedic knowledge presented for modern man, we'll find that you need a guru. And in Krishna himself, the whole point of Krishna consciousness is the process of Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti, is to be Krishna conscious, to be fully absorbed in Krishna. Krishna himself speaks in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi Parnipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Teganam Gyaninas Tadvadarshinaha. One should approach submissively, bowing down, being prepared to ask relevant questions and to offer service, to take initiation. Upadekshanti, to attain knowledge from those who are seers of the truth. So this is a standard Vedic principle. In Srimad Bhagavatam, also this very famous verse, Acharyang mang vijani yan navamanyeta karhichit namaritya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guruhu. Lord Krishna says that one should know the Acharya as myself, as good as myself. Guru is not God directly, but as good as God in as much as he delivers the same message that God himself gives. One should not envy the spiritual master, nor consider him just someone ordinary like us, just another guy. One should know that he's the representative of all the demigods, all the great saintly persons. So what is the role of the guru? The point in accepting initiation is to come to the highest perfection of life, which means to revive our dormant Krishna consciousness. The process for doing that is to chant Hare Krishna. So then again, what role does the guru play? The guru helps us to become Krishna conscious. It's all about consciousness. Srila Prabhupada used this word, consciousness, which in Sanskrit is chetna, chetana. This term Krishna consciousness is derived from a verse of Rupa Goswami, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi Kriyatam Yadi Katopi Labhyate Tatra Lolyam Ekam Mulyam Tatra Lolyam Ekam Mulyam Koti Janma Sukritir Nalabhyate, which means that Krishna consciousness, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi, which is, in short, Krishna consciousness. If at all it's available. One should, the example is given, one should purchase it. What is the price? Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam. The price is great eagerness. Jamma koti sukritayana labhyate. Simply by being a good person or performing Vedic rituals, one cannot attain Krishna consciousness. One has to be very eager. So this term, Krishna consciousness, it's about consciousness. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji maang namaskaru mame vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. Krishna says, always think of me. Become my devotee. Bow down to me. Worship me. In this way you'll surely come to me. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. And again in Bhagavad Gita we find Krishna is talking about consciousness. Krishna consciousness. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nitya shaha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. Ananya cheta. One whose consciousness is fixed on me without deviation, Krishna says. For such a person, I am easy to obtain because he is always engaged in yoga, bhakti yoga. The consciousness, we're talking about consciousness. In the material condition, our consciousness is contaminated. That is pure consciousness is described just like this, ananya cheta satatam, in many verses. And contaminated consciousness is also described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita in many verses. For instance, dhyayato vishaya punsang sangasteshu pajayate sangad sanjayate kama kama krodha vijayate krodhat bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibhramaha smriti brangshad buddhinasho buddhinashad pranashyati, which means that if a person thinks about the objects of the senses, I would like to enjoy this, then desire arises in the heart, and from desire comes anger or frustration, from karma comes krodha. And from krodha comes bewilderment, sammoha. Then the intelligence, sammoha, then the intelligence becomes spoiled and one is completely finished. So it's all about consciousness. Mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Mana shashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Krishna says, we are all parts and parcels of Krishna, eternally, all the jivas. But we are struggling in this material nature because of the senses beginning with the mind. So the process of Krishna consciousness is easy. It's not difficult to chant Hare Krishna. It's very easy to open the mouth and say Hare Krishna. For some people it's very difficult. For people who are very sinful, they can't even chant Hare Krishna. But if someone is not very sinful, even for a sinful person, it's easy to open the mouth, but they don't have the mentality to do so. So it's easy to say Hare Krishna. It's not difficult to say it. But to really feel for Krishna, to absorb our mind in Krishna, we find that difficult because anadi karma phale pari bhavarnava jale. From many, many lifetimes, we're in this material situation. Material situation means we're overwhelmed by kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, all the contaminations. So we need some help, some very serious help. So that help is given by the Guru. Otherwise our consciousness is a mess. We're in this material world, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jartare shayanam. Getting born again and again, dying again and again. Entering a womb of a mother again and again. Why is that? Because of contaminated consciousness. So the Guru, his task as Guru is to train the disciple. Training means there are techniques of Krishna consciousness. A technique to chant, how to open the mouth and chant Hare Krishna is not very difficult. But there are many other things to perform. Especially if there's deity worship, or there may be some ritualistic ceremonies, there are different songs to sing. But apart from these rituals, we can say, or outward manifestations of Krishna consciousness, the consciousness, what is the state of our consciousness? Or ego. This is a word that has become popularized in English by the psychologists. And in Vedic spiritual culture, we also have the term ahankar. That's generally understood by spiritualists, that we have to get free from ahankar. The Mayavadis say this ahankar that's translated as ego. The impersonalists, they say we should become completely free from ahankar. But the Vaishnavas say we should purify that. Instead of thinking, I am part of this material world, we should think, I am servant of Krishna. That's the difference. It seems like a very small change, but it means a complete change of consciousness. As long as we think, I am a part of this material world, then we're thinking how I can enjoy my senses. And then when we think, I am a servant of Krishna, we're just thinking how to please Krishna's senses. So it's a change from complete selfishness, how I can enjoy myself, to a state of complete selflessness, how I can dedicate myself to Krishna. Philosophically, it's not a very difficult thing to understand. But in our mind, we have so many attachments. In the Western countries, the attachments, they manifest as attachments to gross sense gratification. And even among pious people in India, the attachments, they may manifest as attachments to worshipping different demigods or to different babas and bappas and ammas and all this kind of thing. So there are various attachments. We think that, yes, I like to chant Hare Krishna, but, this is the most dangerous word in spiritual life. The most dangerous word, but. Yes, I agree we should surrender to Krishna, but. And after the word but comes everything that Maya has to offer. But I have to look after my family. But we have to worship the demigods. But I have to pay off my debts. But I have family commitments. But I'm addicted to smoking. But I think I'll do it later. And on and on and on and on. So pure Krishna consciousness means I have to fully dedicate myself to Krishna. No but. Everyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, they'll all agree, we have to surrender to Krishna. But, if we can throw out this word but, Of course, it has its usage in various contexts. But in pure devotional service, no buts, no excuses. Now, someone who takes initiation into Krishna consciousness, their sankalpa, diksha means there should be sankalpa. Initiation means there should be some vow. I'm just translating that into English for those who don't understand these words. Probably you all understand these words, but there may be some people who don't. So diksha is translated as initiation, and sankalpa means a resolve that I'm going to do this. I will do it. I must do it. I've given my word. No going back. So in diksha, there's always a sankalpa. So the sankalpa is, well, actually, what is it? We say, I promise to follow four regulative principles and to chant minimum 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra every day. That's the sankalpa. But that is not in and of itself the full meaning of diksha. The real sankalpa that we're aiming at is two things. Smartavya satatang Vishnu, vismartavya na jatu chit. To always think of Krishna and never forget Him. And that should be favorably also. Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana kamadyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. This is our aim and object. To cultivate pure devotional service without any personal desire. Neither any material desire. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye. Krishna, I'm not chanting Hare Krishna because I want money, I want wealth, I want women, I want followers, name, fame, glory, I want to be a big scholar, no such thing. And not even for liberation. Mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaiti gitwai. Only pure devotional service to Krishna without any personal desire. So our sankalpa is to aim for that. We want to be pure devotees of Krishna. And we recognize that we're not in that state, but we commit ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness. Anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. So to always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna, favorably, in a devotional way. Because it is possible to always think of Krishna and be a demon. Just like Kamsa is the usual example. He was always thinking of Krishna, but not in a devotional manner, out of fear, because he thought, Krishna will kill me. So not out of fear, out of love. Ultimately, we want to love Krishna. But that love for Krishna, which is dormant in our hearts, nitya siddha krishna prema shada kabunai shravanadi shuddha chitte kareye udai. The love for Krishna is, it's there in our heart, but it's covered. What is it covered by? Material desire, material attachments, kam, krodh, lo, moha, mada, matsarya, ityadi. All the bad things in the heart. So our aim is to be Krishna conscious. Our sankalpa, our resolve is that we shall do whatever is required to become Krishna consciousness, in Krishna consciousness. This is called sharanagati, fully dedicating ourselves to Krishna. Dikha kale bhakta kare ata samarpan. This is the meaning of diksha. To dedicate ourselves to Krishna, atma samarpan, sharanagati. So sharanagati means there are six factors. This is somewhat technical. This is why you need a guru to teach you all these things. Otherwise you can chant Hare Krishna, but if we don't understand these things, then we may not advance very much. So Sharanagati means Anukul Yasya Sankalpa Pratikul Yasya Varjanam Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso Goptrit Vaivaranam Tata Atmanikshepa Karpanye Sharavidha Sharanagati. To accept whatever is favorable in Krishna's service, to reject whatever will impede our devotional service, to think Krishna will always protect me. I don't need to go anywhere else. Krishna will protect me. Krishna will maintain me. To fully throw ourselves at Krishna. Atmanikshepa. And humility. Complete humility. So this is what we're aiming at. The idea is to be a pure devotee of Krishna, but it's understood that we do have material contaminations, and therefore the guru guides. Why we need a guru? To guide us on the path. Actually, the disciple means he should be able to, should just take whatever the guru says and follow immediately. So if the guru says, okay, you stop thinking of all nonsense and completely absorb yourself in Krishna. The guru will say that in the speech. But actually we find that I have so many bad things in my mind from so many lifetimes, then immediately I cannot do it. So guru will tell you, why are you not Krishna conscious? Surrender to Krishna immediately. But then it's understood that, all right, we're at a certain level. But the guru helps us to go step by step, according to our situation. Just like someone may be initiated, I may say that, all right, now you just completely dedicate to Krishna. You leave all this nonsense, work, job, go to Vrindavan, completely absorb in Krishna. But that, because we are living in this material world, that may not be very practical, because we do have material responsibilities. And even if we think that, yes, I just want to fully surrender to Krishna, but Maya may pull us back. We may think, yes, I'll go to Vrindavan. And then we go to Vrindavan and we think, well, what about my family? And our body is in Vrindavan, but our mind is in Singapore. So the training is that the body may be in Singapore, but the mind will be in Vrindavan. That is the training. What's better? The body will be in Singapore and the mind in Vrindavan, or the body in Vrindavan and the mind in Singapore? Actually, both are good. Either way. But better that the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna. Otherwise, Kamsa, he was also in Mathura. So many demons came to Vrindavan. Shakata Asura. Then Putana, Keshi demon. So they're also benefited by coming to Vrindavan. But we are not worshippers of Putana or Keshi Asura. Or so many are there. Vyoma Asura, Dinaka Asura. We are worshippers. We want to be with Krishna in Vrindavan. We don't want to be an asura in Vrindavan. So the mind should be trained to always think of Krishna. That is the essence. How to go step by step, considering our practical situation. Now, if we think, well, actually I have family, this, that, so I can't be Krishna conscious, then don't take initiation. It's not that we have our material attachments and we remain in the material attachments. Yes, we have our material attachments, but we have to come out of that gradually. But not so gradual that after one lifetime we made how much progress? 1 nanometer. No, we should make good progress. The progress should be that at the time of death, we are thinking of Krishna. So that requires to be at a good level of Krishna consciousness, whatever our material situation may be. So that when we say 16 rounds, four regulative principles, that is not in itself the essence, but it's a very big step for most people, because most people are raised in with meat eating. Probably those who are being initiated today, they're probably raised in families that all their life they've been eating meat. Probably, because that's the situation of most of the Hindus in Singapore or Tamil Nadu. There are few who are probably these priests here. They're Brahmins. They're not. They never ate meat in their life. But there are not many like that. So it's a big change, and it may be may cause some problem in the family even. Oh, why are you stopping eating meat? You became better than us. You'll become weak. You'll die. Yeah, I'll die anyway. I'm going to die. But there may be so much oh, you think you become a great saint? There may be so much opposition. It's a big step. So even to remain steady on the path, we require this commitment. This initiation ceremony is important. Sometimes it's said that initiation is only a formality. Well, in one sense that's true, but it's an important formality because it means that we make a vow to God, to Guru, that I will follow this, even though the family will be against and friends will be against. But no, I have to make this. Or even sometime I may think that, well, actually, I used to drink beer, and maybe it's a hot day, maybe I'll just drink one beer. No, I made my vow. As long as you don't make that vow, then there may be some. I don't know if you're drinking beer. I hope not. But anyway, no more. Even if you were, now stopped. Cigarettes, tobacco, beer, whiskey, anything. Finished. Now I'm finished. No, all these things. Finished. I made the vow. So that helps in our commitment. That I made a vow. I have to follow. I've given my word. So that's very helpful. These regulative principles, they help to purify the consciousness. But simply to be a vegetarian doesn't mean that one has a peaceful mind. Generally it's thought that someone else is a vegetarian, he has a peaceful mind. Well, monkeys are mostly vegetarians, and they're not very peaceful, are they? So to be a vegetarian is not in and of itself purificatory. Of course, it's better than eating meat. One cannot have a pure mind if one is addicted to sinful activities. But simply to stop sinful activities does not purify the mind. The chanting is there, but the chanting, that has to be with a proper understanding. Otherwise, Bahu Janma Kare Jadi Shravan Kirtan Tabutan Apai Krishna Pade Premadan, Krishna Pade Premadan. If one is offensive in chanting Hare Krishna, then you can go on chanting Hare Krishna for many lives and not get Krishna Prema. So the understanding is important. That means we have to hear from Guru. We have to hear to become free from so many misconceptions. In the modern age especially, people's minds are very complex. Because in the modern age, there's so much emphasis on sense gratification in a very sophisticated way. Now you can go on the internet and you can see all kinds of things which you shouldn't see, but it's there. And this messes up, especially this pornography, it just spoils the consciousness. You can't have pure consciousness if one's mind is attracted to these things. So because of these things, we find people want to take to Krishna consciousness, but their mind is very disturbed. That is the main symptom of Kali Yoga. Prayanal payusha sabya kalava smin yoga janaha manda sumanda matiyo manda bhagya hi upadruta. In Kali Yoga, people have short lives. Previously, people used to live very long lives. In Satya Yoga, up to 1 lakh years. But in Kali Yoga, most people, they don't even reach 80 or 90. Short life. I know myself. I was about 30, I think, when I first came to Singapore. Now I'm almost 60. And it doesn't seem like there's much difference, but the difference is that 30 years have passed, and I don't think I'll have another 30 years in this body. If you think, well, 30 years later, let's call Bhaktivikas Swami to Singapore. Well, he already left. Where did he go? Hope he went back to Godhead. I don't expect, maybe, but... And definitely if you say 60 years, very little chance. 30 years, maybe. But 60 years, right? So the life is... kshanik. Just one moment. So we have short lives in Kali Yoga. Prayanal paisa sabyaka. People are lazy. In Singapore, people are not lazy much. Even if you want to be lazy, the government won't let you. Is it? The Chinese work ethic. They're very, very hard-working people. Is it not? So what does it mean that people are lazy? Well, it means in spiritual life. Especially in spiritual life. If we tell people that by this process of Krishna consciousness you can get free from birth and death, they'll say, no, I'll go to some guru who'll just give me some ashes, enough. I'll just put some ashes, enough. I go to the temple, I put some ashes, enough. But that's not enough to get free from kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsa. We have to try very hard. You have to work hard. Just like in Singapore, people work very hard. So that's good. But it should be applied in spiritual life also. Otherwise, just working, and then you die, and then you get born again. What's the point? So, Chinese worth ethic, I guess I should say Tamils also. I shouldn't insult you by leaving you out. The Tamil people here also work hard. But anyway, we're not this body. That's the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. So, lazy, unlucky. If we ask most people, what do you think in your life? Are you lucky or unlucky? Most people say unlucky. There may be someone who's born lucky, but then they become unlucky. What about yourself? Huh? They're born in a rich family, and then they think, I'll invest all my money, and then, oh, what happened to all the money? It's gone. But people are unlucky, especially in spiritual life. Even if people want spiritual life, they go to some cheater who cheats them. And the main symptom of Kali Yoga that people's mind is always disturbed. How to sort it out? So the Guru has to help you. You have to listen to Guru. Listen to the topics of Krishna consciousness. How we can understand who I am. What is my relationship with Krishna. Why I should not be attached to this material world. how I can become more and more attached to Krishna. We should hear these things. Otherwise our mind, it's like all tangled up. You know this tangle, if you see some string and it all becomes tangled. Can you follow? There's the famous story of Alexander the Great. At Delphi, the voice would come. I can't remember the word just now. So it said that there was a complete tangle of rope. And it said that anyone who can untangle it, they will become the ruler of the world. And no one can do it. So he came, he brought his sword and cut it. He became the ruler of the world, Alexander the Great. The oracle, is it, at Delphi? So in the same way, if we think, oh, my mind is very tangled, so I have to do some psychology and try and understand, it won't work. Or I'll do some fasting. Now Muslims are doing Ramadan fasting. So Hindus, they also do. Different days they'll do fasting, or I'll go to some holy place. But we need some serious cutting. Cut our material attachments. So that is described in Bhagavad Gita, Asanga Shastrena, the weapon of detachment. We cut through these attachments. Nirmana Moha Jita Sanga Dosha. We are entangled in this world. There's so many tangled up. Yes, I'd like to be Krishna conscious, but I have this and that, and what about this? And I'm afraid if I surrender to Krishna, what will happen? Then hear from Guru. Tato dusanga utsrija, satsu sajjeta buddhiman, sanda evasya chindanti manovya sangam yukti bihi. When one has understood that this material world is not my place, it's a place of, I want to come out of here, then we should give up bad association. And being intelligent, we should associate with sadhus. And what do sadhus do? They cut our attachments. How? With their words. They tell us. So you have to hear regularly. Listen again and again. Listen here, this material world is not our place. We don't belong here. We have to surrender to Krishna. Don't be attached. We have to hear again and again and again. So gradually that will purify. Gradually we come to realize. Or it may be quickly also. Krishna may arrange. That may be Krishna's mercy. That we're hearing, but still we're attached. And then Krishna may just take away all our attachments. Or we may have an accident and we're just about to die and then we're saved and we think, oh, Krishna's teaching me. Or all our money, we may lose it and we think, oh, then we get realization. Hearing. It may seem we make slow progress, but then Krishna helps us. So that what we have learned, it becomes realized. It may be a painful process. There may be some pain. Just like in surgery, there may be some pain to cut out the tumor, but that will benefit us. So this training is required. Hearing and engaging in service. Tadviti pranipatena. We have to be humble. We have to be eager to hear and learn. And to engage in service, sevan mukhe hijivada, beginning with the tongue, beginning with chanting. What is Krishna consciousness? It means the mood of serving Krishna. So we have to engage in service. Gradually this purifies us. This training is required. So that is the difference between accepting a real guru and just, there are so many family guru or this guru, that guru, The training is required by hearing, serving, chanting is going on, but along with hearing from Guru, serving Guru. How do we serve the Guru? By serving the mission of Krishna consciousness. Serving means there may be cooking, collecting and giving some dakshina, but the main service, you see, cooking, if I have 1,000 disciples and I can't eat 1,000 meals, if they all say they want to eat, they want to cook for me, I'm not Bhagavan, just in case you hadn't noticed. I can only eat little bit. Then what will the 999 disciples don't have? No, they all have service by serving the mission. We're all in Srila Prabhupada's mission, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So we're all cooperating to serve this mission. That means by calling others to engaging in the programs, calling others, distributing the books, spreading Krishna consciousness, preaching mission. This helps to purify the consciousness. In other words, if instead of thinking, how can I enjoy myself, we think, how can I spread Krishna consciousness? How can I bring more people to Krishna? That will purify our consciousness. It gives us something else to think about. Otherwise, our mind is crazy. Even though we get the highest knowledge of Krishna, we're thinking, how I can enjoy some petty sense gratification. So training is required. Otherwise, if we think initiation means, okay, now I'm initiated. Now I'm one step up. But we have to go forward. We have to take the training means surrender, means we have to work hard to serve this mission. Not just, oh, just relax. No, surrender means we have to work hard to serve this mission. Otherwise, if we just come once a week, do some kirtan and take some prasadam and go away, you can do like that. But that doesn't help us to advance unless we have to become absorbed, this is the point. Absorbed in hearing and chanting and serving. And Guru has to push you also. Don't remain at the low level. Come up. Come up more and more. So we should be ideal disciples. Can you think of who is an ideal disciple? Anyone? Prahlad Maharaj. He was an ideal disciple of? Of Lord Vishnu. He was a devotee, but who was his guru? Narada Muni. Anyone else you can think of? There are so many examples. Anyone? Dhruva Maharaj. Well, maybe in the beginning Dhruva wasn't so ideal. He came with his own terms and conditions, but Narad was so expert that he engaged Dhruva in such a way that he did become perfect. Srila Prabhupada, perfect disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who was a perfect disciple of Gaur Kishore and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Often people think of Ekalavya, isn't it? Very good disciple. Because even his guru asked for the thumb, he gave his thumb. But actually, this story of Ekalavya is misunderstood. He wasn't a good disciple. Because Dronacharya didn't want to accept him as a disciple. But he wanted to be a cheating disciple. Anyway, I'll make him my guru. But it's a two-way contract. You can't say, well, you don't want me to be your disciple, but anyway, I'll be your disciple. You have to find out then what do I need to do to become? What's my discourse? Someone may come to me and say, I want to be your disciple. Okay, well, you have to follow four regulated principles, chant 16. No, I don't want to. But anyway, I'll be your disciple. Well, you can imagine like that, but the guru will not accept you. So he had to give his thumb because he was cheating. That's why Arjuna said, so that you can't become a cheating disciple. His whole approach to learning the Vedic science was wrong. I'll just put a statue and worship, just like this Ritvik philosophy is there, that you just imagine that Prabhupada is your guru. But there's no, Prabhupada hasn't accepted. Prabhupada has made the system that you have to approach a disciple of Prabhupada. You become a disciple of Prabhupada by becoming a disciple of his disciple. This is parampara, not that you just imagine. Otherwise you can make, why Prabhupada? Then you can make Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati your guru. I think Bhaktisiddhanta was a better guru than Prabhupada. Or I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'll be this direct. Then you go to Krishna directly. Then why you need any guru at all? It's all imagination. It's one kind of impersonalism. Because you don't want to take the personal surrender and guidance. So you just, okay, it's good to be a disciple of Prabhupada because he's not there to tell me anything. I'll be Krishna conscious in my own way. This is impersonalism. Now you may say, well, anyway, the guru comes and then we don't see him much. But you keep in contact by hearing. And we organize, just like now tomorrow is organized. All day. Now we should do this in future. I'm doing this in different parts of the world. All day, hearing and chanting together. It's only one day here, but usually I do 2 days, 3 days, more days. Regularly we do this. Usually we do this 2 or 3 times a year in different places in India, and different devotees come from all different places and just get absorbed in hearing and chanting in the association of the Guru. Then I'll be going to Russia next month and doing it there also. And in Croatia and England and America and different places. Come, spend time, listen. And now by the modern age there's this internet. And there are also senior disciples who are training. Today also I'm giving Brahminical initiation to Shamurari Prabhu because he's training. So senior disciple means they should listen very carefully, understand, and teach in the same way. This is parampara. Otherwise, if someone just imagines, then the parampara is broken. So, initiation means to reject impersonalism. We're taking initiation from a person, not just from some imagined guru, but from a person. It's a personal link. And that link means to link with the guru, who's linked to Prabhupada, who's linked to his guru, his guru, his guru, his guru, all the way to Krishna. And you are supposed to make the link go the other way also. To bring others. So it's a flow in time, parampara. So there are many things to say, but I won't say anything more just now. I'll finish speaking here now. And there'll be more speaking this evening. And then all day tomorrow, Krishna willing, inshallah, as the Muslims say. It's a good saying. It's a good saying. If God desires, masha'Allah, this is good. It's a good saying. These are good things. If Krishna desires, we shall do.